Well, Psalm 92, we're going to be in Psalm 92 tonight. And this is what I felt like the Lord led me. We are finishing up our series, of course, on that it is a good thing to give thanks to, that giving thanks to God, and that it's just, I've learned as I've studied the scripture, there is so much that talks about thankfulness and in the scripture and giving thanks to God. And so, you know, it's whenever you see something repeated a lot in scripture, you should pay attention. Because if God gave it a lot of space in scripture, then it's something that we need to really be aware of and pay attention to. So if you want to stand, we will read the first few verses of Psalm 92. It says, here, let me get there in my Bible. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands." You guys can be seated. So notice it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. I want us to notice that giving thanks focuses on what he has done, what he is doing, or what he will do. And that is something that we can always be focused on. We can give thanks, obviously, for what God has already done. We can give thanks for what he is doing presently. And we can give thanks, future tense, for what we know he's going to do in faith, for what we've asked him to do. And this is important for us to remember, because most of us spend a lot of time focused on what I need to do, what I am doing right now, what I have already done, not to mention the time that we focus on what I feel and what I don't want to do, the things that I have to do and I don't want to do. And it's easy to get caught up. Most of us don't have a problem focusing on self. Most of us have to struggle to get our focus off of self and on to God and giving thanks to him. And so that's why the scripture is so important. Rick mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:18 this morning, which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So it says that it is God's will that we give thanks in everything. And I talked last week, I shared the story last Sunday about the Corrie Ten Boom and how they gave thanks for the fleas in the concentration camp. And that at first, when her sister told her that we're to give thanks in everything, that she said, "I am not giving thanks for a flea." But then how they realized that the people that patrolled would not come into the barracks because of the fleas, and that they were able to have awesome worship services there because the people wouldn't come in. And so we have to learn how to give thanks. It's something that I realize this can sound like something, I know I should be thankful. But the truth is, it's something that we need to make a daily determination that we will be thankful people, because it will change our perspective. It will change our attitude. It will change the way we approach God and the way we respond to people. It will change our perspective on life in general. And this scripture says, in everything, give thanks. And it's very interesting, because you notice God is not afraid of absolutes. Like, he's not afraid to say, be anxious for nothing, which covers everything. He's not afraid to say, in everything, give thanks. And so this is a very big word that's very broad, but it's something that if we will learn that whatever is going on in our lives, even though it might not all be brought on by God, that we can look to him and learn how to walk, what to do, how to respond, what we're supposed to learn from it. And so we really can give thanks in everything if we remember who God is and we keep our focus on him. The first few verses, the verses before that, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always." Just those two words, that is an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but I could read this verse every day, because the truth is, I do not rejoice always. I mean, there are times that I complain and I have to repent, because when I am complaining, I am not rejoicing. But it says, rejoice always. It says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This pray without ceasing, I used to just kind of put that off and go, that is one of those scriptures that God doesn't expect us to actually do, because that's impossible. You can't pray all the time. But when you learn that the goal as Christians is to have an ongoing conversation with God, that all day I would be listening to him and he would be speaking to me, and I would be speaking to him and he would be speaking to me. And we can walk in that way with our ears always open, with praying without ceasing. And all of these verses go together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. In order to do these things, our focus continually needs to be shifted on God. And most of us, that is a thing that we have to learn. And so I want to challenge you. This is my challenge for you. I want to challenge you to, over the next week at least, it would be a good practice to continue really forever, but over the next week, at least once an hour, say thank you to God for something. Just throughout the day, say thank you, because a lot of us, we can get into a habit of asking God for things. And that's okay, actually, if we're asking God for wisdom, if we're asking God for provision. It says we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray, you know, that God's will be done. And so it's not wrong to pray. But we need to make sure that we're giving thanks. That's why the scripture that I've shared so many times that has had such a great impact on my life, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request. So whenever we find ourselves anxious, we can pray about it with thanksgiving. And the thanksgiving part changes the prayer. It changes the focus. It changes the mentality. It adds faith to it. Because when I say to God, instead of going, oh God, I just wish that you would help me in this situation, when I say, I don't have to be anxious for anything, God, I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you care. I thank you that you said that if I need wisdom, I can ask you and you will give it to me. And God, I ask you in this situation to show me exactly what to do. And I trust that you're going to work in this situation. So, thankfulness changes our attitude and our outlook. And he knows that we need that. That's why he tells us to give thanks. The second part says, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. 19 times that same word is used in the Psalms when it's talking about sing. And the word is translated, sing unto the Lord, sing psalms, and sing praises. Now, that is not including all the times that David said, I will sing. I will sing. This is just the time that it is an imperative, you sing praises. Like when it says, sing praises unto the Lord. Like this verse, when it says, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. The point is, it's a command that's repeated for us to sing praises. What's interesting to me is that people sometimes almost get offended if you encourage them to praise God more. Like, you know, if the worship leader says, come on, everybody, lift their hands. Some people, it's like the rebellion rises up and they go, I am not lifting my hands just because you told me to. Like, I have prayed, I am done praising. Well, we need to think about the attitude behind that, because the truth is, the scripture encourages us to encourage each other to sing praises. David, throughout the Psalms, he said, praise him, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, praise him in the dance, praise him with the instruments, praise him all these different ways. So if you find that, rise up within yourself, because I'm amazed, like standing on the stage, sometimes after an encouragement to praise is given, it's like everything gets quieter. It's like people go, I have praised and I am done praising. That's a wrong attitude, because the truth is, it's never a bad thing for us to praise more. It's never a bad thing. And now it's funny though, how that can rise up within all of us. It's like when somebody tells you something to do as an adult, you almost go, don't tell me what to do. You know, this morning, my little Jude looked at me and he pointed his finger right in my face and went, nah. Because I said no to him and he went, no. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. But it rises up within us from a very early age. Okay, that boy has found his voice. And already I'm trying to, oh, Lord, help me. Because he has very strong opinions. But, you know, that's okay. He just has to learn how, you know, to let go of those opinions at times. But we can be like that. Somebody tells us, you know, praise the Lord. Let's sing this song again and worship God. And we can go, no. I'm not. But we don't need to do that, because we need to understand when Rick does that, or when Janine does that, or when someone does it on the stage, or when someone comes up, then they have a word from the Lord. That is very scriptural for them to do that. for them to say, praise the, let's worship God. He is worthy. That is exactly what is repeated in scripture throughout the Psalms. And so we just need to recognize that it's never going to hurt us to praise him more or to sing to him more or to worship him for a little longer. It's never going to hurt us. And the truth is, even if I'm tired, then most of the times I need to get over myself because it's not going to hurt me to worship him some more. So verse 2, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sounds. It seems like we've been talking about praise and thanksgiving a lot over the last few months, but we need to understand that that's usually when you hear something repeated, it's because we need it. It's because we need to be reminded. And so anytime that you hear a theme repeated, don't just go, oh, they're talking about that again. We already know this, you know, or, oh, I've heard this like 12 times and I heard it on the radio and I heard it from, you know, everybody just keeps talking about it. Anytime that that happens, you need to perk your ears up and go, God, what do I need to do? What are you saying to me? How can I do better in this? How can I grow in this? What do you want to teach me through this? And so it's a good thing because God usually repeats a theme that we need to learn. That's how all of us learn, is through repetition. And so that's not a bad thing. So verse 4, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. I love this because he said, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. The more that you learn to focus your attention on God throughout the day, the more that you get excited about what he is doing. Listen, like, I am just, it is so exciting to serve God. It's not boring. It's not religion. Like, it is exciting to serve a living God that speaks to us and that does things in our lives throughout the day, that gives us revelation and understanding and shows us what to do in areas. Like, it is exciting. And so that scripture says, I will triumph in the work of your hands. When we begin to focus on him and what he has done, then we realize that he is able to win the battle. We rejoice in what he has done. And that's something that continually we need to keep our focus on what God has done. Because again, when our focus remains on him, our perspective changes and consequently our plans change. And I live this on like on a daily basis. I will often be finding myself worrying about something, or I'll be trying to figure out a situation like with my head and trying to decide what the best thing is to do. And then the Lord will help me and my focus will shift and I'll go, wait a minute. Like, I have the privilege of asking Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, who hung the stars in place. And I can go to him and say, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? Just last week, I had just some things in my own life that I thought, God, I see these areas in my life that need to change. So I just turned it into a prayer list. God, these things, I just need you to help me with these things. And I ask you to help me to make the changes. Listen, we can do that as Christians. But then we have to go a step beyond that. And we have to look at his ability to actually do what we have asked him to do. Because as Christians, many people live their whole lives praying prayers, but never expecting God to actually answer them. They say, they pray prayers, they ask for prayer, they say prayers themselves, but then they discount what they have just asked for prayer as soon as they ask it. Like, they say, well, you know, I just wish that I could, you know, change in this area. You can, because greater is he that's in us. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we have to pray, and then we have to look at God and triumph in the work of, and say, God, if you can create the whole world, if you can cause the sun to stand still, if you can heal the lepers and raise the dead like you did, Jesus, when you walked on the earth, then you can help me in this area. So then we begin to triumph in what he has done and believe in what he will do. And it changes the way that we pray and the way that we live. Because the cool thing about that is then, rather than leaving the prayer just going, oh, we leave with hope. Like, okay, God, me and you together, like, this is going to change. Like, I believe that you're going to show me and we're going to work in this and this is going to change. And it is a wonderful privilege. Verse 10, but we're going to skip down here to verse 10. But my horn, it says, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. King James Version says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. It's cool because Psalm 23:5, also David said, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I don't know if you noticed when Janine was singing tonight, she was singing fresh oil, fresh oil. That's because throughout the Bible, Enduring Word Commentary says, the anointing with fresh oil brought refreshment and honor. It also had the idea of the blessing and power and enabling of God poured out upon the one anointed. When David became king, he was anointed with a horn. They had like a horn that was hollowed out and they poured the oil on his head. The priests were anointed with oil from a horn. They poured the oil on their head. And so it had the idea of blessing and power and enabling of God poured out. And so this is what it means. And so God will continually, as we ask him, he will continually anoint us. He is our shepherd. And Psalm 23, it says, you anoint my head with oil. And so we can ask him, God, I need you to enable me. I need you to give me power to walk this walk. Because listen, without him, all of us can just look at and go, I will never be able to be who you're calling me to be. Some of the hardest places that we find ourselves as Christians is when our weakness meets what he is calling us or what we know that we should be. And I know that I should be this, but I see that like this is where I'm supposed to be and this is where I feel is way back. And I don't see any bridge. Faith is the bridge between the two. Faith in an almighty God who is able to help us and strengthen us and change us. And that, if you haven't learned to walk in it, it sounds too easy. It sounds like, no, I need to work harder. And you know what? Sometimes you do need to work harder. Sometimes God will call you to fast. Sometimes he'll call you to turn off the television and go and pray. But if you, from the beginning, go, okay, I am here and now I need to make these, I need to pray more. I need to do all of these things and it needs to be all about me. You will just be exhausted. Like from the beginning, you'll just go, I'm already tired and I haven't even started changing. Like, and I'm already just overwhelmed. But if you look at the distance and go, God Almighty, your word says that I can be these things. You take a step of faith towards him because now you have focused you have put your focus on him instead of you. I have learned this. Most of the time when we are overwhelmed, it's because our focus is on ourselves, on the situation, or on other people. Because all of those things will make you overwhelmed and stressed out. But when you find yourself stressed out, the solution is actually very simple. You take your eyes off of any one of those three things and you point your eyes onto Almighty God who is able to work and to change it. And that is faith. That's how you begin then. Because the Bible says faith is the substance of the things hoped for. I hope that I can be this person that God is calling me to be. Faith is the substance to that. In his word, in his ability, in his what he can do. Verse 11 and 12, I'm going to end with these and then my mom is going to, no, verse 13, I'm going to end with verse 13. And then my mom is going to come and share for a minute, well, a few minutes. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I thought this was interesting. This is from Pulpit Commentary. It says, to an Oriental, the palm is the queen of trees. Of all vegetable forms, the palm is that to which the prize of beauty has been assigned by the concurrent voice of all nations in all ages. Its stately growth and graceful form, its perpetual verdure, its lovely and luxuriant fruit, together with its manifold uses, give it precedence over all other vegetable growths in the eyes that are accustomed to rest upon it. It is rather remarkable that in the Old Testament, it is used as a figure for beauty only here and in Song of Solomon 7:7. Then also it says about the cedar, man in his most flourishing growth is ordinarily compared either to the cedar or the olive tree. So I just thought that was interesting. Enduring Word Commentary says the cedar trees of Lebanon were known for their size, strength, durability, beauty, and usefulness. The blessings to come upon the righteous bring the same things. So verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it is an awesome privilege that we have to be in the presence of God and to come. All of us are to seek God on our own at home. You know, we're to read the Bible, we're to pray, we're to spend time in the presence of God. But he has called us, Hebrews 10:25 says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because when we come together and worship God together, we can be encouraged by each other. We can encourage someone else. We can hear what God is speaking to us as a group. It's just a powerful thing. And so I'm going to ask, I asked my mom to share because the next few verses says, those who are, verse 14 says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, or King James Version says fat and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. And I said to my mom, not that I'm saying you're an old age. She said, yeah, whatever. Like, it doesn't bother her. So she's going to come and share about bearing fruit.
She did say I was old. That's why she asked me to share. But that's okay. Bring forth fruit in old age. This will work not only for old, but for young. She asked me to share three ways that we can bear fruit in our lives. And so the first way is based on John 15. These are not the only ways, of course, but these are three ways the Lord led me to share. John 15 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So the first way we bear fruit, whatever our age, is to stay vine connected. Stay connected to Jesus. Think about how close the vine and the branch are. They are really connected. That's how he wants us. How do we do that? By having regular devotions with him. Sit in his feet and listen. How many times have we heard Pastor Shannon say, listen? I don't think she realizes she says that a lot when she's preaching. But that's something we need to practice doing, especially as we're having devotions. Listen to what the Word of God is really saying that we're reading. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And listen what our own heart might be telling us of, you're not lining up with that scripture. You need to get it together here. So being vine-centered and connected is part of a way that we'll bear fruit in our lives, whether we're young or whether we're old. And so John 15:8 says, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. That's not man's idea. That's God's idea. That we abide in Jesus and we bear not a little fruit, but much fruit. And we can do that through him. So the first way, I believe, is to stay vine connected. Keep our attention on the Lord, on his word, on our lives. We can do that. And you know the scripture, there is no expiration date. Well, do this for 20 years and then you're okay. You can just sail till I call you home. No. Jesse brought it out well this morning in Sunday school that our Christian walk is for all of our life. We start with a simple prayer at the altar, but it's to keep us walking with Jesus the rest of our life, letting him change us. So first way, vine connected. The second way, and I believe this is true too for all Christians, we should have a regular ministry that we do at the church. This is our storehouse where we bring our tithes. This is where we learn and we're taught and we hear preach the word of God. We should have a regular ministry. What does that do? It keeps us connected with the body of Christ. And that really can be for young children. I know Christina, when she was cleaning last night, she had two or three children with her, helping her clean. So there can be a ministry for the young, the youth. There's things for youth to do, but we should all have a regular ministry that we do for the Lord. It keeps us connected. It keeps us praying for one another. It keeps us part of what's going on at the church. And the church is God's idea. I think sometimes people think, well, it's just man's idea. No, Jesus established the church. Paul went around establishing churches. And she's already said the scripture in Hebrews, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. We should be at church every service that we possibly can. We raised our girls like that. We never said we have to go to church. It was always we get to go to church. We live in a free country that much of the world would be delighted if they could come and sit in church and worship as we do. And yet if we're not careful, we can take it for granted and even feel like, well, I've gone to church, I've heard all the messages. Not the old age, not the young, we shouldn't do that. We should count it a real privilege that we come and get to be in God's house. It is a privilege. So the second way, have a regular ministry that you do for Him. It's good to keep you in the servanthood attitude. It keeps you praying. It keeps you focused that what we're doing is not just about us, but we're building His kingdom. We're building the kingdom of God on earth, and it's being built here in Hidden Treasures. So have a regular ministry. The third, I ran out of paper, so I used the bag. I hear a lot of preachers. I listen to YouTube. I have BVOVN. I listen to Daystar. I listen to TVN. But you know what I have learned this year is I believe some of the best preaching and teaching that we get is right here at home. Why is that? Because I know our pastors pray over the messages and the topics that they preach to us. The Sunday school teachers, the children's church, the men's ministry, the women, they know us. They know the needs that we have, where Kenneth Copeland might not know every need that Lou has, and he might not address it. But I can get rhema words from God right here. So one way that I can bear fruit in old age is be faithful to church. Now, I know there are times that people can't make it, but if there's not a real reason, I believe we ought to be here just like a good soldier. We should be here, prayed up, read up, and ready to encourage and meet new people and bless them. Because it's God's plan. And another part of that is we're not to be spectators. You know, on the football field, there's a few players, I don't know much about it, there's a few out on the field, they're playing hard, they're participating, the rest are just looking on as spectators. We're to be part of what's going on at the church. And one thing that has stood out to me lately is we are to put in practice what we hear. And I think I have lived more in that in this past year than ever before. The things that we hear in church, God expects us to do. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Like the Thanksgiving, that's a good challenge. Try it for a week. Thank God every hour. I'm going to probably have to put that on my refrigerator and mirror so I won't forget it. But we need to do that. One of the things that I think it was Rick, I know it was Rick, for several months he's been saying, don't just go to Dollar General. Not just to get an article, but go and be prepared to witness. You're on a mission. I really cannot just go to Dollar General anymore. I think, how can I witness? How can I minister? It's not that we're going to share the gospel every time we go in there. We might have those opportunities, especially if we're aware. But maybe a smile, maybe just being helpful, maybe just being in a good mood. But we're to be a witness wherever we go. And that's bearing fruit for the kingdom. I've had opportunities lately, seems like more than in a long time, to share the gospel. Contractors in my house just kind of cornered them. And you know, one thing about being older, people that have been trained well, they'll respect you as an elder. I can corner people easier than I ever could 20 years ago. That's true. A fellow I talked with in the laundromat not too long ago had a great time witnessing to him. And use these advantages. Use them for Jesus. Probably shouldn't share this, but anyway, maybe I won't. Okay, I was going to tell you something else, but I won't. I'll stick to my notes here. Let's see. James 1:22 tells us to be hearers and doers. So what we hear at church, we put into practice. We heard a lot of lessons about hearing from God, sitting in His presence. And if you've been listening, you're probably doing that more than ever. And if you're doing it in faith, you're probably hearing God more than ever. And that's good for us to bear fruit. Lastly, I just want to share, I heard recently, and I don't know how much football players make, but I heard this one, he had signed a contract for $56 million. And my first thought was, that's nothing. As Christians, if we will bear fruit for God, our rewards are forever and ever and ever and ever. And we're going to walk on streets of gold, and He has such a mighty plan for us. I don't see expiration dates on the promises. I want to be faithful and fruitful. I've said that for a long time. But I want to be faithful and fruitful till Jesus calls me home. And as John 15:8 says, I want to give the Father great glory, not just a little. So I want to bear much fruit for Him.
Praise the Lord. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and close.